And he's not one of those doctors that charges an arm and a leg, which he could do. A lot of doctors do that. He believes in what he's doing. He does his best. And he's helped a lot of people. And Yolanda is one of them, right, Yolanda?
Absolutely.
Yolanda is the one that introduced us. And Yolanda has like curvature of the spine. And he's helped her so much that she introduced him to us. And she says wonderful things about him. And now, most of you already know him. But if you don't, get ready, because here comes our Dr. Kevin.
All these recorders up here. All right. I think this is important or something.
It's even handsome, too. No, no.
Thank you, dear.
Whoa, Ruthie,
I brought some props with me, so, you know, just to help me out. So anyway, a couple weeks ago when Millie and I talked about coming up here and doing a little talk, I accepted readily, but I also was a little nervous because I'm used to talking in places where I really don't know anybody. I've talked quite a bit in different groups and different organizations about the kind of work that I do and stuff like that. And that's really up my sleeve. I'm pretty familiar with what I do, and I'm pretty familiar with health, and I can talk for hours about that stuff. But coming up here and talking about spirituality and all these other things, well, this is kind of new to me. But then I thought, okay, well, I'll just write it out, and I'll just write it all down, and I'll memorize it and spurt it out to you.
You don't mind me talking about health.
Okay. Well, I'll probably touch on that briefly. Now I thought, well, you know, I could probably write down a bunch of things that might wow you a little bit, some facts and statistics and all that stuff, but I thought, you know, that's not really who I am. And I think that the journey that I've been on these last few years have been kind of incredible in my life, and I would like to share a little bit of that. And I realized the best way to come out and talk to you guys is just be authentic, be who I am, because I don't know any other way. I don't know any other way that's going to really hopefully touch your heart than to just to be real, okay? So I actually wrote up a little bit of a guideline for this talk right here. That's not going to do me any good. I can't sit here and look at a piece of paper and talk. And I can't, you know, I have a hard time just sitting behind this podium, but I know that's where the microphones and all that stuff are. So I'll just kind of inch my way out here a little bit, because I actually like being out with you guys and talking directly, eye-to-eye contact. But anyway, my whole spiritual journey began, I guess, when I was born. Because, I mean, isn't that when we all become spiritual beings trying to be human? And I was born into a Catholic family. I'm sure many of you are Catholics. And I have nothing bad to say about Catholic faith. It's a great way to grow up. I grew up in going to Catholic schools and had nuns slapping my knuckles because I was always bad. You know, I was kind of crazy as a kid. Nothing's changed, right? So I grew up with nuns and priests, and I really admired the priesthood. I thought, this would be a great profession. You get to stand up and talk to people every Sunday, and all the people are falling asleep or they're twiddling their thumbs, but it's okay because you're commanding attention. And I was an altar boy. And then one day I got touched in a way that I wasn't really too appreciative by one of the priests. And I didn't know what was going on. I was only about 9 years old, and I wasn't really sure if this was a bad thing or what, but it really affected me, and it kind of turned me off the idea of becoming a priest. And so I kind of wandered from the church for a while. Even though I went to grade school and Catholic schools through high school, I never really had much inclination in spirituality. And subsequently, I joined the Air Force. And I just thought I was it. You know, I didn't need church. I didn't need anything. I was very comfortable with just who I was as an Air Force sergeant. And then one day I got real sick and got real bad headaches, real bad spinal pain. And it lasted for a couple weeks. Finally, and I worked as a medic in the hospital at the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base Medical Center, which was a very large medical center. And the docs kept asking me, what's going on? How come you're not, you know, what's wrong with you? And I didn't know. I just had real bad headaches. So finally they admitted me, and they did a couple of spinal taps. And they couldn't figure out what it was exactly I had, but I was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And finally, it got to a point where, if you understand temperatures in adults, a temperature of 105 is usually brain damage, and 106 is usually death. My temperature got up to 107.
Oh, wow.
And I was literally frying. And I was in a coma and had IVs in all my extremities. And twice they called a priest in to do last rites. They didn't think I was going to survive, and called my mom from Sydney, which luckily is only about 50 miles away. But my spirituality really began to open up because I saw that somehow I was still alive. And I wasn't going to listen to these guys. They were saying I was going to die. But I couldn't answer. I couldn't respond because I was in a coma, basically. I was alert, but I couldn't answer. And I kept saying, no, I'm okay. I just have this really bad fever, my body aches, I'll be okay. But I guess I didn't see my own severity of illness. But I decided after 2 weeks, when I was still alive later, and I'm still laying in bed because I can't move, because if I move more than an inch, my head, which is so swollen, will throw me into a seizure. My brain was literally fried, and I would have seizures if I moved more than an inch each way. So I just lied there for 2 weeks. Until my fever came down enough that I could get up and move around. Imagine not taking a shower with a fever like that for 2 weeks. It's crazy. But I decided at that point in time that, God, if you help me through this, I'll do whatever you want me to do with my life. At that point, I was kind of aimless. I was happy being in the military, but I knew I wasn't going to stay forever. I wanted to go become a computer programmer or something like that, because that's where the money was 20-some years ago when I left the military. But I knew that's what my, now it wasn't my calling. I knew that that's not what God put me here to do. So I survived, and I kept my promise. I got out, I went to school, decided, okay, I'll go become a physical therapist. That's a great profession. And then one day, I was at a party. One night I was at a party, and a guy that I hadn't seen since high school, 8 years earlier, was at this party. I was 25 years old then. And he had just become a chiropractor. And I said, chiropractor, tell me about that. I had no idea what that was. I just knew that they worked on backs, but I didn't know how. I didn't know anything about it. I was a medically oriented person. Being my mom was a nurse, my sister was a nurse and a dentist, that's all I knew about. I didn't know about alternative health care. At that point in time, in 3 hours, I was convinced that that was the profession I needed to do. It was 7 years later till I saw this gentleman again. So one chance meeting in 15 years changed my life forever. And hopefully changed a lot of other people's lives as well. And so I know that the angels were working with me that night. Because why else would he have been there? So we spoke and I decided that's what I was going to do. Spent another 4 years going through chiropractic school. Got out. And again, I felt like I was doing God's work, but I really didn't feel like I needed help spiritually. I was very open-minded about the body and how the mind and everything heals. And I knew all about religions. I studied all this stuff, but I didn't really think that I needed spiritual help. And it's funny how nature just kind of gives you little kicks in the rear when you need them and everything. But one day I was at a seminar and I was getting these alignments from somebody called Alpha Biotics. And that's what I have chosen to do in this next 14 years of my life after being a chiropractor for 3 years. And so 14 years ago, I discovered Alpha Biotics. Well, Alpha Biotics is all about rebalancing the man, the spiritual, man, the mental, man, the physical. And it made sense to me. But again, it didn't really seem that big of a deal on the spiritual level. I was more into the healing on the physical level. And then I got sick again. And I decided that it was time to sell my practice because I really saw that I wanted to do just Alpha Biotics, but I didn't want to do it in Columbus, Ohio. And I got sick, and I wasn't healthy, and I needed to get away and maybe get my body healed. So I decided to travel. And I traveled, and I traveled, and I traveled. I traveled for 17 months. I had my table with me in one hand, my luggage in the other. And I went around the world, and I worked on people everywhere I went. And I got a chance to see God's work working through me. And it was a very powerful experience because before I took care of back pain, took care of headaches, took care of shoulder problems, knee problems, whatever, joint-related issues. When you're in other countries where you don't speak the same language, you tend to attract people that might have serious illness or might be paralyzed or might be blind or might be deaf, but they don't really, they're not there because their back hurts. And that's when I start seeing miracles occur on a daily basis. And why I haven't written a book about this, I don't know yet, because I'm working on that. But it was a 17-month journey to find out who I was as a spiritual being, and also realize that we're all called for a purpose, and this is my purpose. This is my purpose, to share whatever gifts God gave me to the planet, not just to my hometown, not just to a few people, but to the planet, and everybody that I could reach. And so I set out on that journey once I decided to move to San Diego to continue that. But then something called making a living and running a practice and having a life actually stepped in. And so I basically kind of stopped doing what I was doing just to run a practice. And that's when I met Yolanda. And at that point, I was very happy here. I've been here for about 3 or 4 years. But I hadn't found a church I really enjoyed. I went to all the different Catholic churches. Didn't really, can't say any of them moved me. And one day Yolanda said, why don't you come to the church I go to? Now, Yolanda's a sweetheart. Everybody knows Yolanda. And I loved her, and I said, I'll come. But, you know, I wasn't really that enthused, especially with a name like Fraternal Spiritualist Church. I had never heard of that. I had no idea what that was about. And so I thought, okay, I'll go. Just to appease Yolanda. And the first day I'm in church, and Connie Ferris gave me my first message. And if you're new here tonight, we receive messages from Spirit in our church, and you'll receive that tonight. And the message was right on. I thought, my goodness, how does she know that about me? And the rest is history. I kept coming in spurts for the first couple, 3 years. And then, like I said, nature has a way of coming around and kicking you in the rear when you need it. I decided to start challenging, just out of the blue, the way our government works and the way our banking system works and the way some other things work. Don't ask me why, it's just that I began to research and I began to find out that a lot of things that we're told aren't exactly the way they seem to be, and I decided to challenge it because I'm the type that doesn't back down when I see injustice occurring. Well, I set myself up for a huge battle, and it's been going on for about 3 years now. And I really considered giving up. At one point, I was one day away from losing my home because I challenged the validity of my mortgage. At one point, I was one day or two days away from losing my freedom because I decided to challenge the government and the IRS. Another time, in the meantime, I had gotten married and I was going through a divorce because of all the hassles. Everything in my life began to fall apart. My practice started dropping. I developed 2 really bad hernias, which needed surgery. I had surgery. I couldn't function for a couple months. And I sold my practice. Then the kid who bought my practice stopped paying me for it. Everything. It got to a point where I'd actually ended up minus $300 in the hole. Now, I've never been broke in my life, and here I was broke. And this is only a couple years ago, folks. I was broke, minus $300 to my name. The reason why, because I had no cash, and I had bounced some checks. I was minus $300 in the hole. And I realized that this will be easy right now to give up. It really would, because I was tired. I was physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally drained. I'd fallen out of balance with my own life. I teach every day, I talk about balance to people. I don't think there's a day goes by that I don't deal with balance, either on the physical or the structural or the mental or emotional level with folks. And here I was very out of balance. Now, there's 7 areas of life that you need to maintain balance in order to have a happy, qualified life. You have your social side, your spiritual side, your mental side, your career side, your familial side, your financial side, and so physical. Okay, here I was out of balance in all 7 areas. And I take great pride in staying in balance, and I was so out of balance. And it got to a point where I was ready to pack it in. I was ready to go and drive my car off a cliff, and I said, you know, enough of this. I don't need this. I'm out of here. I'd much rather be on the other side anyway. Because when I was in the hospital dying, I knew that there was probably a greater existence out there. I just, you know, for some reason, I stayed alive. So then I found somebody sent me an email that came at the perfect time, and I've since sent this around. Maybe some of you read it. This says, don't give up. One day I decided to quit. I quit my job, my relationship, my spirituality. I wanted to quit my life. I went to the woods to have one last talk with God. And this is exactly what was going on with me, folks. God, I asked, can you give me one good reason not to quit? His answer surprised me. He said, look around. Do you see the fern and the bamboo? Yes, I replied. Well, when I planted the fern and the bamboo seeds, I took very good care of them. I gave them light. I gave them water. The fern quickly grew from the earth. Its brilliant green covered the floor. Yet nothing came from the bamboo seed, but I did not quit on the bamboo. In the second year, the fern grew more vibrant and plentiful. And then again, nothing came from bamboo, but I did not quit on the bamboo. In year three, there was still nothing from the bamboo seed, but I would not quit. In year four, again, there was nothing from the bamboo seed. I would not quit, he said. Then in the fifth year, a tiny sprout emerged from the earth. Compared to the fern, it was seemingly small and insignificant. But just 6 months later, the bamboo rose to over 100 feet tall. It had spent the 5 years growing roots. Those roots made it strong and gave it what it needed to survive. I would not give any of my creations a challenge it could not handle. He asked me, did you know, my child, that all the time you have been struggling, you have actually been growing roots? I would not quit on the bamboo, and I will never quit on you. Don't compare yourself to others, he said. The bamboo had a different purpose than the fern. Yet they both make the forest beautiful, and your time will come, God said to me. You will rise high. How high should I rise, Lord? How high will the bamboo rise? He asked in return. How, as high as it can, I questioned. Well, yes. Give me happiness by rising as high as you can. I left the forest and brought back this story. I hope these words can help you see that God will never give up on you. Never, never give up. For prayer is not an option, but an opportunity. Don't tell the Lord how big the problem is. Tell the problem how great God is. See, when I read that, I started crying. I thought, this is exactly what I needed. And about this time, I was recovering from my surgery, and I decided I need to get strong again. I need to get out and exercise and do some things and get my body healing again so I can function, so I can work, so I can perform, do all the things I'm used to doing. So I decided to start walking. I've never been a big walker. I've been a jogger before and an exerciser, a weightlifter, but I've never been a walker. I have these beautiful streets in my neighborhood that are all up and down hills and tree-lined and everything else, and it makes for a very nice environment for walking. So I started walking. But what happened to me was greater than just getting my legs strong again, was that I discovered serenity and peace, and I discovered the joy of getting in touch with our Lord while you're walking. Anybody ever do that? Anybody ever just get out and walk and really enjoy and talk? And I started praying. I started saying, God, what's going on in my life? I had it so made. I had it made here. I was happy. I was successful. Got married. I had everything going for me, and everything fell apart. And the answers kept coming. Don't give up. Don't give up. Persevere. And then I started thinking, well, everything I've ever done, I've always taken these positive mental attitude classes and all these seminars. I spent thousands of dollars learning The Secret and all these wonderful things that were taught and these courses that you tend to forget about by Monday morning. And I thought, you know, it's time to start putting some of that in action. So I created a little list of affirmations that I would say to myself all the time when I'm walking. Because you got to remember, at this point in time, I'm broke. My body's broken, my spirit's broken, nothing is working. And so I decided I was going to start telling myself over and over and over again what I needed to hear from myself. The first affirmation I came up with is, I am a genius, and I apply my wisdom. My good friend Dr. John DeMartini taught me that. I am a genius, and I apply my wisdom. What do you expect me to say? I'm a moron, I apply my stupidity? Because that's what I felt like. That doesn't go very far. Whatever you say to yourself is what you create. I literally felt like I was a moron, and I was creating it. My life was showing it in results. That really affected me, because I thought, you know what, if I'm a genius, it's time to start showing it. It's time to start being proactive and taking control. And then what I realized too is I kind of lowered my standards to mediocrity. I've never been mediocre in anything in my life at that point, yet I was. I was broke. I was 40-some years old. And I realized mediocrity is self-inflicted. You inflict it upon yourself. No one can make you mediocre. You do that to yourself. People can tell you you may be mediocre, but you don't have to buy into it. And I was buying into my own mediocrity. It's self-inflicted. But genius is self-bestowed. So I became a genius. I wasn't going to let anybody tell me differently. I'm a genius and I apply my wisdom. Money follows me easily and effortlessly. It will always come to me, no matter where I go, no matter where I'm at in this world. Money will flow to me easily and effortlessly. Because you know what? If you have goals in life, you really want to help people, it takes finances to do that sometimes. Wouldn't anybody agree to me that if you have money, you can usually help people better than if you don't? Well, that sure was my understanding, and I wanted some. Because I was broke. Money flows to me easily and effortlessly. Every dollar I spend will come back to me multiplied. And you know what? That's true. Because when you keep money flowing in the universe, it keeps flowing back. Because if I'm collecting the money here, I have to be willing to get rid of it over here as well. Every dollar I spend comes back to me multiplied. I give my money freely and generously for the good of others. I have a lot of dreams, folks. I want to travel the world and take care of people. I want to set up little clinics all over the planet. I want to teach people how to do the work that I do. I give my money freely and generously for the good of others. It's real important for me. I love what I do, and I do what I love. How many of you tell yourself that every day, that you love what you do and you do what you love? Important affirmation, because otherwise you're going to hate what you do. I don't ever want to go through life hating what I do, because it's not worth it. I have faith in you, God, and I believe in myself. You see, I wasn't sure I had faith at that point in time. It seemed like all the strikes were against me. I had the banking system and their rich attorneys breathing down my throat. I had the IRS and their attorneys breathing down my throat. I had just a variety of stuff going on, medical issues. But I have faith in you, Lord, and I believe in myself. I am happy. I am healthy. And I'm prosperous and I'm free. I'm happy, I'm healthy, I'm prosperous, I'm free. You know how enlightening that statement is to yourself when you say it over and over again? I might say that 50 times a day. I'm happy, I'm healthy, I'm prosperous, and I'm free. I'm in love with life, and I'm at peace. I'm in love with this life. Lord, thank you for this life. You've never given me more than I can handle, and I'll handle this. I've almost died. I can handle this. So I lose my house. So I lose my career. Whatever. I'll survive. I'm in love with this life, Lord. Thank you. I live in the present. I remember the past, and I have faith in the future. Because we all remember our past, and don't we all beat ourselves up for what our past has created for ourselves? How many of you have future plans that you have faith in? Raise your hands, everybody. Good. You all should have a future that you have faith in. I remember my past, and I live in the present, and I have faith in the future. And then the most important one for me, I'm a master of persistence. I will never quit. I'm a master of persistence. I will never quit. I will never, ever, ever quit. And I haven't. 2 years later, folks, I'm still in my home. I still have my freedom. Everything's being resolved as we speak. There's been a lot of God stories in the last couple years. What got me to this point of spirituality that I have to thank Reverend Millie for. So we had some talks. She invited me to come to classes. I had never come to class before. I rarely came to the forum. I wasn't even coming to church every Sunday. But you ever notice how when the stuff really hits the fan is when you finally discover that maybe you need to call God back and say, God, help me. God, help me. I decided to start going to church every Sunday. All of a sudden, I began to realize, I really like this. I really like going to church. It's fun. I made new friends, new contacts. It was great. And I began to realize that these are a great group of people. I think I'll hang out with them more. So I started coming Wednesdays to the forum. Then I got into class. And I started getting messages from spirits saying, Kevin, we're proud of you. Hang in there, buddy. My father, my grandparents, all my relatives, they were saying, Kevin, we love you, man. That was gratifying. And I became grateful again. I lost my gratitude, folks. If you're not grateful on a daily basis for what you've got, what are you missing out on? What are you missing? Gratitude is everything. Love and gratitude heal the planet. There's nothing else that matters. Love and gratitude. I began to love life again. And then I said those 10 affirmations every day. I was coming to class. I was enjoying my life. I was back in my business again. I was seeing people out of my home now, which I love working out of. All my former wonderful participants, like Connie and Charlotte and them, all start coming back. And I was enjoying life again. And then, because I come from Big Ten country, college sports, Big Ten, Midwest, in case you don't know what that is, but because the Big Ten added 11th team, 11th college into it, I decided to add 11th affirmation to my 10 that I said on a daily basis. And for life, I can't remember what it is. No, I'm just joking. I realize that no matter what I've done or not done, Lord, I'm worthy of love. No matter what I've done or not done, I'm worthy of love. Folks, no matter what you've done or not done in your life, you're worthy of love. Don't let anybody ever tell you differently. You're worthy of love. Everyone is. Doesn't matter. What will matter in the end? It's a good question. One of my favorite authors, a gentleman named Michael Josephson, wrote this called What Will Matter? Ready or not, someday it will all come to an end. There will be no more sunrises, no minutes, no hours, no days. All the things you collected, whether treasured or forgotten, will pass on to someone else. Your wealth, your fame, your temporal power will shrivel to irrelevance. It will not matter what you owned or what you were owed. Your grudges, your resentments, your frustrations, jealousies, they'll finally disappear. So too, your hopes, ambitions, your plans, your to-do lists, they'll expire. The wins and losses that once seemed so important will fade away. It won't matter where you came from or what side of the tracks that you lived on at the end. It won't matter whether you're beautiful or brilliant. Even your gender and skin color will be irrelevant. So what will matter? How will the value of your days be measured? What will matter is not what you brought or bought, but what you built. Not what you got, but what you gave. What will matter is not your success, but your significance. What will matter is not what you learned, but what you taught. What will matter is every act of integrity, compassion, courage, or sacrifice that enriched, empowered, or encouraged others to emulate your example. What will matter is not your competence, but your character. What will matter is not how many people you knew, but how many people will feel lasting loss when you're gone. What will matter is not your memories, but the memories of those who loved you. What will matter is how long you will be remembered, By whom and for what? Living a life that matters doesn't happen by accident. It's not a matter of circumstance, but of choice. Choose a life that matters. Live a life worth sharing. Share a life worth living. Thank you.